Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Today's opening tip, the Hawks have made a trade. They have acquired Jeff Teague from the Timberwolves in a three-player deal. Earlier today, this frees up a roster spot for the Wolves, which could be useful in a bigger trade, guys, as we approach the February 6th deadline.
Does that mean Trae Young's job security is in trouble?
Yeah, no, whatever. Trae Young is fine, but do we expect changes in Minnesota, Mac?
What do you think? Yeah, they got to mix some things up because it's not working there with the two guys.
Mix it up. Blow it up. No mixing. Blow that up.
You got to keep one of them. And then, you know, sprinkle in some.
Well, nobody wants Wiggins. So
his mother wants him.
Well, I'm talking about in the basketball world.
I'm just saying, if they have to keep one of them, we know which one they're keeping.
Those two were going to make it happen this year.
It looked like it for a week or two.
I'll tell you what, if this season was eight games, boy, I tell you what.
Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. Today, I am joined by NBA champ Richard Jefferson, Hall of Famer Tracy McGrady. Our insider Amin Alhassan will also be joining us a little bit later. And coming up, we're going to talk a little Kyrie Irving because he says that the Nets have, quote, glaring team needs. He mentioned specific players last night as members of the Nets core. Not all of them, though. We'll get to that, but first.
What would you say if you was his teammate, Rich?
I've been his teammate.
There we go. The past had a heavy hand in last night's game between the Rockets and the Blazers. I mean, how could it not? Carmelo Anthony was stepping onto the court in Houston for the first time since the Rockets, quote, parted ways with him just 10 games into last season, a move that almost ended the future Hall of Famer's career. Before tip, Melo was insisting this was not a revenge game, saying, quote, I was only there a couple weeks. I don't really have any type of feelings going back. See how he got the couple weeks thing in there? It sure didn't seem that way once things started, though. Anthony was all the things the Rockets once said they wanted him to be. Active, extremely
doing PJ
sharp.
Oh, no, you ain't gonna put James on him. That's not cool.
He went 7 of 10 from the field on his way to 18 points, 12 rebounds, and we got this classic moment. I mean, that's all Melo, right? Yeah. Also got plenty of chippiness, especially from Russell Westbrook. Again, we can thank the past for that. Russ has a long history talking trash to Damian Lillard, who in turn has his own history of, well, ending Russ's career with the Oklahoma City Thunder. But if you thought that, you know, that's you remember that great little great wave he did, right?
Ever.
If you thought that little wave would mean Russ would be quieter, you don't know Russ.
Westbrook shaking his head saying he can't guard me now. I think Russ remembers.
Yeah, there was,
you cannot show the brick.
There was also this moment from Russ last night. Russ throwing up that brick and watch the Blazers bench. Everyone just pretending to duck.
Can this please be a first round?
So good. Look, overall, Russ still had a strong night. 31 points, 11 rebounds, 12 assists. James Harden, not so much. Facing traps and double teams, James only took 12 shots the entire game. He only made 3 of them and finished with a season-low 13 points. Things were bad enough that all the way around, after the game, the Rockets held a 20-minute Festivus-style airing of grievances in the locker room. And here was Coach Mike D'Antoni to the media after that, quote, the focus is more on looking at the back of the jersey than the front. We just need to get over it, and we will. Every ship gets rocked sometimes. We're getting rocked right now. Meanwhile, in the Portland locker room, things much more happy and festive, with talk turning toward the future. Several Blazers hope this win could be a turning point in a rough season. If they can put together more games where both Dame and CJ McCollum get cooking at the same time, when Hassan Whiteside stays focused, where the bench plays well, they aren't close enough to that 8th seed, they could at least climb back into a playoff spot. As for Melo in particular, he posted this on his IG after the game, quote, you can rise up from anything. You can completely recreate yourself. Nothing is permanent. You are not stuck. You have choices. You can think new thoughts. You can learn something new. You can create new habits. All that matters is that you decide today and never look back. In other words, Melo did come back to Houston, and he saw his past. And then he kept walking. Tracy, so we know that Melo, Dame, CJ, Whiteside, if these guys all play well in a game, they can do something like take down the Houston Rockets. Do they need to do anything more to this team before the trade deadline? Or you just say this year is what it's going to be and we don't want to spend
any
assets?
No, I think you have to be buyers in this market. You have your core guys. You have CJ, you have Dame, you have now Melo, who I think you can win with. I do think you need some help in the front court. Nurkic is out. LeBissiere, Collins. Those guys are critical to the success of this team. Whiteside has an expiring contract of $27 million. I think you get off of that and see what you can find in the market to add to those guys and see if you can, you know, revive your team.
Throw in a pick. Go get Steven Adams, right? Throw in a pick. I'm just saying that there are, like, in my opinion, I think OKC, even though they are where they are, that's the worst place to be in the NBA. Because you know they're not good. No, I'm saying, you know that they're...
We're talking about Portland.
We're talking about Portland because I'm just...
like a drive-by in Oklahoma City.
But listen, look, what I'm saying is that there are players out there that I believe you can go get. Point being, one of them being Steven Adams. I think you can go get him. They need help in their front court. Nurkic is going to be back probably around All-Star break, so you know help is coming, but even then, minute restriction. And it could be too late. But they're a game and a half. The person in the eighth spot is the Grizzlies. I would be more concerned with the Spurs than I am the Grizzlies if you're trying to make it into that eighth spot. So I'm just saying that there are high-level guys that are out there, like a Steven Adams, that I think you could probably go get if you throw in some things.
I just think you have to sort of take every year as an opportunity. I've seen a lot of people say, well, you know, Nurkic isn't going to be quite what he was, because, you know, coming back from an injury like that, it's going to take a while to sort of get to be himself. Maybe you just kind of write off this year, get into the playoffs to keep that streak going, but just, you know, run it all back the next year. You don't know what's going to happen.
No.
Dame could get hurt. CJ could get hurt. Something else could happen that you don't expect. If we've learned anything in this league the past few years, Who knows what's coming around the bend?
They are a prime example of that. Look at the success they had last year.
Right.
And then you're thinking that, okay, we tested, we got a taste of, what is the Western Conference final?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then they get off to a horrible start coming into the season. So you just don't know.
Absolutely. All right. So three votes for them being buyers. We'll see what they do. I want to move to the other side of the game as the Rockets picked up their third loss in their last four. Tracy's phone is trying to chime in. Everyone wants in on this discussion. I mentioned Mike D'Antoni talking after the game. Let's take a listen to that.
Well, you know, a veteran team that's just kind of put together and, you know, yeah, you're right. I was trying to spin it some way, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it with a straight face. No, it's concerning, but what I'm saying, to me, the focus is not on getting it right. The focus is more looking at the back of the jersey instead of the front of it. And we just need to get over it, and we will. They'll get back. And, again, every ship, you know, gets rocked sometimes. We are getting rocked right now.
All right, Richard. So he says, we'll be fine. You losing faith in the Rockets? You're still good.
You know, I'm glad you asked me that question, Rachel. I never had faith in the Rockets. I never had faith. I legitimately never had faith.
The entire American Southwest.
Yes. My thing about the Rockets is, like, we've seen, you know, Russell Westbrook with Paul George and Kevin Durant, and now he's back with James Harden. We've seen James Harden with Chris Paul, and we've seen a group of things, and ultimately they've always fallen short. There's always been a lack of defense. There's been some, you know, a little too much one-on-one in the postseason. They've just fallen short too many times for me to be like, oh yeah, I believe in the Rockets. I knew they'd make the postseason. I think they can make it to the second round, but do I believe that they play the type of basketball and play the type of defense that's a championship caliber? No. And they haven't in the last few years. Even though the Chris Paul injury was one game away, they still were playing a style of brand and a basketball that wasn't conducive with high-level winning.
I agree with him. I mean, this team, as great as they are offensively, it's just they don't have that balance of being efficient offensively and defensively. It's just not a good balance. You know, I think they're somewhere around 20th in the league in defense and efficiency. If they're not going to, you know, play consistent defense, I mean, they're not going to be able to win the championship. This is a team that has championship potential, considering that they have James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and the guys that they have surrounded them. They should be competing for a championship, but because I don't think there are sound defenders, they're not consistent at playing defense, yeah. and therefore they're going to always fall short.
Yeah, and look, when we look at, if you want to compare them to the Warriors, when the Warriors were shooting a ton of threes, very similar to Houston shooting a ton of threes, the Warriors still had a top five, top ten defense when they were focused. They had their def lineup. They had the all small. You had Draymond Green, defensive player of the year. You had Steph Curry leading the league in steals. Even though he wasn't a good defender, he was contributing something on the defensive end. So this team, and then you also have to start looking at personalities, right? Are there personality clashes here? Why is it that certain things couldn't work in different places?
Well, I think Harden and Russ seem to be getting along better than we saw at the end of Harden and Chris Paul. But to me, if I was James Harden, I would not have agitated for the Chris Paul-Russell Westbrook trade. I don't think that basketball style-wise, maybe Russ is your boy, but that basketball style-wise, I think Chris was a better fit for him. I'm also kind of done with the hamstring away. I think you lose the "we were a hamstring away, one game away" thing when in this past year, you had the chance of a Kevin Durant-less Warriors in a decisive game where Steph Curry didn't score a point in the first half, and you couldn't close that deal? I'm done with the hamstring away.
I hate telling nice people bad things, but I'm sorry, Rocket fans. This is as good as it's going to get.
With that, we will go to a quick break. Coming up, Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon threw down some nasty dunks last night. Are they giving us a preview? I can't say anything after Richard says that. I just got to go to commercial. All-Star Weekend. We'll chat also. We're going to talk about that make or miss. First, though, it's time for our distant replay. It's this date, guys. 1998, Michael Jordan during the Last Dance season.
What did he do?
Michael Jordan gets
Ray out.
Footwork.
Look at the black jerseys. I love those jerseys.
English.
Look at that. Come on. He was 46 years old then, too.
He was not.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
This season on The Neighborhood.
Hey, how about I mow your lawn? You touch my lawn, and I'll just wash your car every morning. You copy my outfit? You copy my outfit? I can help with that.
Is there something going on with the neighbor?
Oops.
Tune into the NBA on ABC.
It's a make or miss league.
It's a make or make.
It's a make or miss league.
We got you, CJ. Make foreshadowing. Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon throwing it down last night. A little multiple dunk contest worthy hands there.
This is a dunk contest.
I was 10 feet from this when he did this. It was like,
Okay.
Please, can we please get both of these boys?
Nah, man, because they cheated my boy AG, man. They cheated him last time.
Aaron came on the jump when we were in Orlando, and he said that
he was one of the judges.
Oh yeah, you cheated him.
No, I did.
Yo, he should have won that. Like the Zach was great dunk.
I totally forgot that.
Yeah, Zach was a great dunk, but
man came from the free throw line, put it between his legs.
Yes, but he
did this. Aaron Gordon did that. That was the dunk.
Same with they cheated Dominique in Chicago.
Aaron Gordon came on the jump. He said he's in. Zach LaVine's thinking about it. I say we've got a rematch. All right, Miss Sharpies. Derrick Rose had his seventh straight game scoring 20 or more points last night. Richard, how attractive is D. Rose on the trade market if Detroit's looking to break up that team?
I think he should want to go and play in the playoffs, and I think he's an attractive trade piece. I think he's somebody that's going to get him over the top? I don't think he can get anybody over the top. But I like this piece. I want Derrick Rose in the postseason. Philly. That ain't going to get it done.
I like that idea, man.
Philly.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Philly. Go get it.
Precision. Luka dropped a cross-court dime last night to Dorian Finney-Smith. How many guys in the league can make that pass?
Luka. And LeBron.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, that's it. That's a heck of a pass, though.
Jokic Jokic
could.
Anybody else? Nah.
No, he's special. Kid's different.
On time and on target.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I threw a pass like that once.
Across the body.
And went to the ninth
sure
row.
Hit somebody in the head.
Oh, yeah. I think a little kid got a concussion.
You throw a pen like that, you'll get fined $25,000.
Yeah.
Kid is special.
Yeah, he's different.
Miss finishes. There were some impressive rim denials last night. One made by a human named JaVale McGee.
Ooh. Look at that. And T. Ross can get up now. That the man's got some bodies.
The two rejections were courtesy of the rim. Now, the Lakers had some problems with the rim last night.
Oh!
Did not go well.
That's 17.
I didn't see that one.
That's not go well. By the way, either of those KCP, baskets would have made the difference in the game for them.
I'm rooting for you, KCP. I'm rooting for you, brother.
But we'll talk about
JaVale. He's a good dude. But this, that's unexcusable. Ron, he tried to add some sexy on it. He's too old to be adding sexy. Just go get the finish.
He got like 3 billion minutes on his body. Give him the
$3 billion, too. I ain't feeling bad for him.
Make grand larceny. Sixers rookie Matisse Thybulle was impressive on both ends last night in their win over the Nets.
University of Washington, I called this first round pick, Matisse Thybulle.
I was going to say, the question is whether he was the steal of the draft, but I remember on draft night, everyone loving this pitch, and he'd gone earlier, though. He went at 20 overall.
20 was high, because I tell you what, when he finished his senior year, people had him like late first round, but they were thinking even lower than that. I think him playing on a very good team helps him. Yeah. So I think he's right where he needs to be.
Also, it gets to his skill set. They need him to be strong defensively and a little bit of offensive production.
That's just what he does.
So. He's going to play 15 years, that kid.
There you go. Think about what the salaries are going to be like in 15 years. Just going to put that in your head. Got a little drum roll here. We have a very cool announcement for you. The release of the 2020 WNBA regular season schedule. Excited about that. They get a new CBA. Before we look forward, though, I want to take one final look back at the 2019 WNBA finals. That was decided by a winner-take-all Game 5. Take a look.
Our fans better be ready because we're winning a championship on our floor. That's a guarantee.
Game 5 is underway. The MVP fading away and hitting. Meisterman on the drive, got fouled and puts it in. The wait is over. For the very first time, the Washington Mystics are WNBA champions.
First of all, shout out to the Mystics for bringing the first pro championship to my hometown since I was 1 year old. Coverage of the WNBA regular season starts Saturday, May 16th on ESPN when the LA Sparks face the defending champion Washington Mystics at 4 Eastern. Basketball championship. Oh. 2019 MVP Elena Deladon taking on the Ogumike sisters, NECA and Chinee. On Saturday, June 6th, the WNBA on ABC returns with Diana Taurasi and the Phoenix Mercury traveling to Vegas to take on Liz Campage and the Aces at 3 p.m. Eastern. And on Sunday, June 7th, the Sparks facing the Lynx at 3 o'clock Eastern. That game will also be aired on ABC. The WNBA regular season tips off on Friday, May 15th. Each team will play an all-time high 36 regular season games. We will air 17 of those games nationally on ESPN and ABC.
Some of that ESPN money.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's so many spicy matchups to look forward to, but the biggest headline from the WNBA schedule, if you notice in there, is the debut of the Commissioner's Cup. This is going to consist of designating a portion of regular season games, 10 games per team. Now, these are games they would play anyway, but they are designated as counting more because they count toward cup play. And then the team from each conference with the top record in those cup games will compete with each other for the Commissioner's Cup title, which will have a special prize money pool.
Yeah.
And that championship game between those two teams.
Now we talking.
Is tentatively scheduled to be played on Friday, August 14th.
That's NBA, 2 days. Start taking notice, players.
Before the regular season resumes.
Taking notice, players.
Before the Olympic break. So, Richard, you guys are both talking about the NBA. We know that the WNBA has been the lab for a lot of changes.
Yeah.
I love, by the way, that they reseed in the playoffs. I would like to see the NBA adapt that for the final four spots. My dreams will never happen. But the midseason tournament is definitely on the table. Now, the WNBA this summer has a break for the Olympics, so they kind of have a natural spot for that game. What do you think about the NBA adopting this, though?
Are we going to the Olympics?
Are we as people, as humans? Are we the jump? Or
the jump,
we as Team USA?
The jump, are we Team USA?
The jump will be
I don't know
Olympic
if I'm allowed
games.
Around Team USA during the Olympics.
I don't know after
Olympics,
last time.
But
it didn't go so well.
I think this is, if not for me at all.
No.
I think this is a great, great thing. I really do like it. Because like people talk about, midseason tournament, where would you do? But I think doing a cup where it's like, okay, this is a game, these are points. But I think for the NBA, I think adding some home court advantage, I think there's some things that you can add to it, but I think this is great. We have to find a way to spice it up, but still keep to the tradition of the game.
Are you in for this?
I am, but this is what I like.
I am surprised. You're usually such a traditionalist.
Yeah. So this is what I like about it. Or I don't know if they would do this.
Yeah.
But if the NBA was to adopt this, do it in the second half of the season, mm-hmm. right, to where non-playoff teams will be put in this tournament, and there are some perks for the non-playoff team.
Like the
think
eighth
about
spot
it.
For the eighth spot or something?
So
that's one thing that's
going
on the table.
After the second half of the season, if you're not a playoff team, players' teams, we're checked out.
Yep.
You know, we're ready to
I didn't experience
vacation.
It often, but tell me more.
So.
Wow.
Anyways,
wow.
You was gifted on some great playoff teams.
Look
anyways,
at that.
Fact.
You know
sure
what I mean? So you were one of the lucky ones. But
tomorrow,
for us,
Tracy will be wearing his orange Hall of Fame jacket.
Is it orange?
Don't worry
about it.
It's
like basketball color.
Anyways, no, but I just think, you know, it'd keep fans more engaged, the players and the teams more engaged, because you're playing for something. Other than just going out there, you're a 30-win team, 25-win team, and then you check that.
Is it difficult?
I don't know. I don't know.
I am excited.
I don't know.
I'm excited for the WNBA to sort of demonstrate you all this.
I'm still mad at you. You left me during the Olympics.
Get
you left me with Larry Brown.
Team, 40
and we got a bronze double. Because of you.
Oh, no.
We're going to break.
Because of Richard.
No,
seriously,
left.
I do want to give
us.
One last shout out. WNBA.
Go
to the interwebs. Check out the schedule. There are some really good games on there. And again, debuting this cool Commissioner's Cup, it's going to have a ripple effect all across both leagues. It's going to be so much to watch this summer. Get excited. And get excited for our next segment, because we're going to talk about Kyrie Irving, Richard's former teammate. He says the Nets have some glaring holes in their roster. How exactly should his teammates feel about these comments? We will discuss next.
We're having a great show.
I need
yet.
More money.
Love it.
I'm just simply the best fighter, and that's it.
The king is back. The all-time leader in wins. The all-time leader in finishes.
Connor, here I come.
Yeah! I'm going to take the game back under control.
Let's ride. Let's go.
Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, here with Richard Jefferson, Tracy McGrady. Got to get to Kyrie Irving. In his third game back from injury last night, he scored 14 points on 6-for-21 shooting in the Nets' loss to Philly. Afterward, Kyrie voiced his concerns about the Nets' roster. Take a listen.
It's transparent. It's just out there. You know, it's glaring in terms of the pieces that we need in order for us to be at that next level. And I'm going to continue to reiterate it. You know, we're going to do the best with the guys that we have within our locker room now. And, you know, we worry about all the other stuff in terms of moving pieces and everything else as an organization down the line in summer. And, you know, it's just something that we signed up for. Collectively, I feel like we have great pieces, but obviously it's pretty glaring that we need, you know, one more piece or two more pieces that will complement myself, KD, DJ, GT, Spence, Karis, and, you know, we'll see how that evolves.
Richard Jefferson. You were Kyrie's teammate.
Thank you for coming to me first.
On a championship-winning team.
You, I appreciate that.
You now call Nets games, so there was really no one better to ask than this question.
Oh, here we go.
Mac and I will let you have the floor. What do you make of this?
Okay, so look. Sometimes the truth isn't what needs to be said. I think Kyrie's...
You said that was the truth?
This is what I'm saying. As a championship team, Kyrie has been...
I think some of what he said was
correct. Truth. Yeah, that Kyrie has been on a championship team. He's been to the finals multiple times. So he understands the amount of talent that it takes to win a championship. That being said, he is now in a different role as a leader of a locker room. So he's got to do a little bit of job of finesse. Am I disappointed in what he said? No, because his goal is to win a championship. And look, we can sit here and criticize LeBron for doing all of his backward side pieces and trying to trade all these guys and doing all this stuff. We can criticize that. But Kyrie openly says, like, hey, if we want to win a championship, we need more here. Is that always positive? No. But is it the truth? Yes.
They need more?
I believe that they need more to win a championship.
No. Are you kidding me? Why would they? Listen, first of all, they're not going to win a championship.
Why are you yelling at me?
Because you sound crazy. They're not going to win a championship
this year
because they don't have KD.
Fair.
You put KD on this team, you trying to tell me they don't have a championship team?
Well, I think you don't want to just win a championship. You want to dominate. And if you want to dominate,
you're not worth the goal line.
No, there's no backpedaling here. All I'm saying is that I think they need I do believe they need more.
I would say they probably might need another piece.
There we go.
But here's the thing.
What?
None of that is happening right now. KD is not back right now. I believe the question to him was sort of how, knowing that KD is out, how do you do the best you can this year?
Are you kidding me? Listen, this team won 41 games last year without Kyrie, without KD. They had D'Angelo Russell as their guy. Mm-hmm. And with the same core guys that they have now, you add a Kyrie Irving and a KD to that core group that gives them depth and two stars. You trying to tell me they can't win a chip?
Can we go do a little history lesson? Do you remember when you played against us with the Nets and you used to look at us and like, y'all got too much? Like, gee. And then on top of it, do you know who we went and got destroyed by? The Spurs and the Lakers. That had a lot. So all Kyrie is saying is that, look, we have a core unit of guys here, and we need to add more.
You don't have
more.
No Spurs, and you don't have no damn
okay,
Lakers in this league right now.
The question, though, whether there was truth in what he said or not, which is clearly a matter of opinion, him coming out and saying it, making a list of who his core guys would be, maybe completely inadvertently leaving off Jared Allen, right?
Or and I think some of it's inadvertently.
Joe Harris off.
Yeah, like Joe Harris, the NBA is one of the best 3-point shooters in the league.
Reigning 3-point skills champion.
I think
champion.
He was just naming guys.
He was just naming guys.
Too.
Thank you, T-Mac.
I think it might
be trying to leave other guys out.
I don't think he was maliciously trying to leave anybody out. No. I don't think
so. Your guys are both okay with him coming out and saying this publicly?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
I'm okay with him saying that we need more. I think sometimes
he can't name the guys. He can't. Don't name your teammates, because if you name a few, you got to name everybody.
And that's the thing. And we're going to sit here and say, like, look, he wasn't leaving Jared Allen out. He wasn't leaving Joe Harris out intentionally, saying that these guys can't cut it, because those guys are very, very good, high level pros. He was just kind of wheeling off a couple of guys, like, hey, we got our core unit of this, and we have to add more.
This is hard for me, because as someone in the media who asks questions, I never want to tell a player, don't say as much. And I'm aware of that. And so I do want Kyrie to talk. I think Kyrie's really interesting and smart. I just wonder if, especially in your third game back from being 2 months out to start picking apart the roster, I just wonder if it was the right time to say this. I think, when they get KD back, they might make some moves.
It's not the right time, especially when you miss 20-plus games, right, and coming back. We're looking at you when you make that type of statement, like, you're a max player.
This is the thing. My question is this. If he would have said all of those names and added Joe Harris and added Jared Allen, would anybody be complaining? No, you're like, well, you know, what about this player? No, like, he would have said they're top seven players.
I think it's
right?
Bad.
Like, that's my only thing. You know, I think Kyrie, you know, his intentions were in the right place, saying, like, if we want to win a championship, we need to add more. He wheeled off 3 or 4 players. There was 2 or 3 that he probably left off. But I don't think if we would have said their top 7, anybody would be going crazy.
I'm interested to see where this team goes from here. There's more about Kyrie, though, because we just received the latest round of All-Star fan voting. Take a look at the West starters. This is according to fans. Remember, they're 50% of the
rightfully
vote.
Luka,
Harden, LeBron, AD. And then that last spot in the forwards has been the question mark. Kawhi has really been pulling away in the fan vote there. Out east, we have rookie Trae Young, Giannis, Siakam, Embiid, Kyrie has the other guard spot, even though, again, he has missed 2 months. So of the 10 potential starters.
Who would you put in Trae Young?
Do you think
Kemba Walker over.
Walker deserves one of those
spots?
Yes,
I do. I think Kemba Walker deserves it, and I love Trae Young. But T-Mac, you remember how hard you worked to make your first All-Star game. And I'm okay with, look, this is about the fans. So I'm criticizing the fans. I'm not necessarily like criticizing Trae Young. The fans want to see Trae Young. That's understandable. He is a popular player. He is a player that people will pay to go see. But do I think a guy with those numbers on the worst team, not like one of the bottom, the worst team in the NBA, deserves to be a starter in the All-Star game in his second year? No, I don't. Get off my line. Okay, Boomer.
I mean, it's not a team thing.
I agree.
It's an individual accomplishment, and this guy's putting up crazy numbers.
On the worst team in the NBA.
So if you give him some talent, he will still put up these type of numbers because he's that good, I truly believe.
I believe he is that good. I just think in his second year, and let's put it this way, if he was not a starter in this All-Star game, even with these numbers, would the coaches vote him in?
Yeah. They, not with their track record. The coaches don't tend to vote in players without.
Look at you trying to lie. Stop, don't you try. You try to sit there. You try to sit there and just go straight face and just like, yep. Would the coaches vote him in?
Nah.
He would not be an all-star. So if you wouldn't be an all-star, then why are we talking about this?
Well, just a reminder, 50% of the voting is to the fans, 25% is to the players, 25% to the media. So if players want a say in this, they can go vote. Player voter turnout has not been great in the past. We'll see if fans are smart. Markel Fultz, I want to talk about him because he hit two big layups in the final minute last night to help the Magic break the Lakers' 9-game winning streak. Fultz had a triple-double in the win, which was also the first time the Lakers lost to a below 500 team in the season.
Yes, boy. Listen,
I
haven't seen LeBron get bodied.
Ooh, body him.
He bodied LeBron last night in transition. Bumped in. LeBron went out of the picture. I'm so happy for this kid.
Yeah.
Right? And for everything that he went through in his rookie season, he needed a change of scenery to get his mind right, get his physical presence right. I mean, thank you to the Magic for taking a chance on him.
Yeah.
They gave Embiid 8 years to get right. That's what I'm saying. It's like, oh, well, he's always injured. Like, look at what you have in Embiid right now. If they would have given up on him after 2 or 3 years.
It was not working in Philadelphia.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you can blame where the toxicity came from, but it was not working.
Look at that. Did anybody do Brian like that? Did he sun him afterwards?
I talked to Fultz after the game last night, and just the joy and happiness on his face was so great to see after a couple years of this kid being so snowed under it. I'm as thrilled for him as you guys are, and I love the way the rest of the players in the league have rallied around him this entire time.
Good for him.
It's so awesome.
Even J. Cole rapping about
you. Turning that corner. All right, coming up, J.J. Redick said, some players care more about their pregame outfits on the IG about winning. Does he have a point? And here is what the Jump recommends for today. Baxter Holmes has a piece on ESPN.com and the app on Zion Williamson's impending return. He says there's no precedent for this scenario. David Griffin says, quote, he's not normal.
Passing the ball.
Check it out during the break. We'll be back.
Slimmer than you, brother.
More of this coming up. Hi, I'm Sage Steele. Ahead on SportsCenter, full coverage of today's breaking news. New Mets manager Carlos Beltran has stepped down as fallout from the sign-stealing scandal continues. Plus, new reaction to the arrest warrant for OBJ after Monday night's locker room incident. And Dan Orlovsky details the number one factor for the Titans to pull off the upset over the Chiefs. SportsCenter with Kevin Negandhi right after PTI.
Popularity.
Our NBA Friday doubleheader tips off at 7 Eastern with the Bulls and Sixers. And then we take you to Dallas where Luka Doncic and the Mavs host the Blazers right here on ESPN.
I see two All-Stars
and
there.
And the ESPN app.
Three out of four ain't bad.
Oh, Luka's talking. It's our front office insider, Amin El-Hassan.
My guy's here. I want to talk about how the game has changed in terms of shot selection.
Earlier this week, our Kirk Goldsberry pulled out this photo highlighting the changes in shot selection from the 2001-2002 season until now. Of course, these days, seemingly everything is a three or at the rim. So, Mac, what's the main reason for this drastic change, and do you wish you played more on the right side than the left side?
It really wouldn't matter.
Tell him, Mac!
I just know PBG will be way up if I played in this era. But what changed is I think you look at when Shaq came in the league, how he changed, you know, everybody's outlook on how they draft, how you play defense. I mean, he completely changed the game. And then you fast forward years later, you got Steph Curry and Klay Thompson on one team. I mean, arguably the greatest shooters that we've ever seen on one team. Steph probably the greatest shooter we've ever seen. Like, if you can't match what they do night in and night out from shooting threes, then you're going to get blown out, which they've proven that. And teams just started, you know, playing this style of basketball because of these two guys right here, how they changed the game.
Look, it's about analytics, right? So they want you to either get a three-point shot or a two-point shot. And the reason why I don't like analytics is because I have to have someone explain it to me. Then I have to have someone explain the explanation. But this is the issue. I guarantee you that shot chart would look different if you did NBA champions. Because NBA champions, like
Kawhi Leonard, he shoots mid-range shots, mm-hmm. right? Kyrie Irving shoots mid-range shots. There's a lot of high-level teams that don't just do three or layup. That's just dumbing it down for young players, in my opinion. Really good teams still shoot that in-between shots. Paul George.
I'm 90% with you, but I wouldn't say championship teams. I would say elite offensive players.
Fair.
Doesn't matter with the championship or not. The yeah. guys you named aren't just, they have any champions. Yeah. But they're also elite offensive players. And for the elite offensive players, you have to be able to do multiple things because these are all counters. So that's why you see Steph Curry shoots mid-range. Yeah. And Kyrie and Paul George and Okwai and all these, and LeBron. But what that shot chart represents is more so the more limited you are, the more we're going to want you to do a couple of things. And the three-point line is important because it's an efficient shot or whatever. But all, more importantly, it's spacing.
Yeah.
If you're spacing around 18 feet, you're in the way of a LeBron, of a Russell Westbrook, of a James Harden. So they make you, as a role player, take those shots. Part of it is the math and analytics, and part of it is we're trying to give the most space to our superstars. So, yes, if Tracy McGrady played today, his shot selection will probably be similar. Maybe shoot more threes, but you'd still be the master of the mid-range because you were great at it. Mm-hmm. And the above thing to remember average. Is a lot of times people are trying to convince, oh, players take more mid-range. Some of these guys just ain't good at it. Mm-hmm. The guys he named, they're good at it. That's why they take it and make it.
I mean, look, I always say three is more than two, but two is more than zero.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you are a player who is not great at
three,
you should be taking your two.
But that's what you had to shot. That was one of the first shots that when you got in the league, you had to develop that little mid-range corner shot.
Absolutely.
Ooh, three and D. Before there was a three and D. Look at that. Look, mid-range.
Don't tell me you can't win with that. I mean.
Look at that. Look, I'm open, guys. I'm open. Oh, wow. I'm open. They didn't want to even throw it to me. Mid-range. Take that by. I couldn't even shoot threes then.
And now, really.
Now. Fair.
There we go.
I'm retired.
That's not
hey, there's a three-point shot right there.
But obviously,
Steph
to your, well, yeah, to your point, it's changed. It's sort of a cycle, right? Because it has changed how GMs are drafting.
Yep.
Because, yes, those threes are more than two. If you are leaning more heavily into players who can hit the three, you will get more players who can hit three taking those shots that end up on the shot chart.
But also, they're more important if you're a role player. I'd rather have you shoot threes.
Threes or layups.
Because the idea is get out of the way.
But I've sat and watched average players, below average three-point shooters, go 1 for 9. And it's like, you can do more than just shoot a three. Go and try and get a layup. But they're like, well, they either want a three or a dunk. And you're just like, that's silly.
So here, let me explain what analytics is to you. It is more information about what has already happened in the game you have already played. It is not like some big secret magic.
No. It's death by analysis. It's paralysis by analysis.
People like him don't like analytics because a lot of times they're getting analytics from people who don't know what they're talking about.
Oh, there that's we the go. Difference. All right, I want to move on to someone who shoots plenty of threes. J.J. Redick. On his podcast, J.J. had some pointed comments on how some players are a little more concerned with their social media presence than they are with wins and losses these days. Here's the quote. I think there are more guys concerned with getting a pregame fit on Instagram than they are about the win and loss of a basketball game. Richard, does J.J. have a point?
He does have a point, but this is where... He does have a point because I think social media has changed things, and now when guys are walking in, it's like they're carrying their shoes, they have their bags, they have all this different stuff. But at the end of the day, look, Russell Westbrook cares about what he looks like. LeBron James cares about what he looks like. And those guys show up every day, and Paul, James Harden. So we can't just say that, like, everybody, it's just what the league is. When David Stern imposed the dress code, then all of a sudden players were like, hey, well, we're going to add this to who we are. And so I think it's a good thing, and it's just part of the, hey, we have to evolve.
So I would say you're right, but then what it tends to happen
that
is...
That means a lot to me. That really means a lot.
What tends to happen with young players is they copy what other people do, but they don't copy everything. They just copy the parts they see. So while we know LeBron James and James Harden and Russell Westbrook are doing the requisite amount of time and work in their craft, young players don't see that, but they see him walk in with the thing. And so,
if you are around LeBron James and you don't see him putting in work, you are not paying attention.
I'm not talking about the ones that are around him. I'm talking about ones who are playing somewhere else. But they see, this is what NBA players do. We get dressed up. We have style. But they don't see the work. And the whole reason why anyone cares what you're wearing is because you are good at your primary job playing basketball. If you're not good at this, no one cares what you're
wearing. You don't get the solo walk-in unless you're a good player. You don't get the solo walk-in. Like, me and Channing Frye used to go and, like, try and stand next to LeBron during the walk-in and mess up his solo walk-in.
What you talking about? Y'all all dressed alike. walking in together. Yeah.
No, I wasn't part of the suits. I was not. I was gone.
They had already gotten rid of Richard by then.
Yes, they did. Yeah, they didn't win after, though.
That's who would have been a part of
it. Most likely, 100%. But I wouldn't have been like Perk. Did you see Perk with the three quarters on? Nah, Perk, that was not cool. You shouldn't let him do that to you, Perk, big fella. That's my guy, though. But yeah, no, I wasn't part of that.
Who cares?
Coming up, two teams passed on Luka Doncic on draft night. The Hawks traded him. Who should regret passing up Luka's services the most? We will discuss. First, though, time for our second distant replay of the day. This one from this date in 1998.
No, it's Minnesota and Houston.
Goose.
Young Rudy T over there.
What a name.
This was the first of many years where Minnesota gets knocked out in the first round.
One of the early stretch fours. Gugliotta.
Another ex-Wizard, ex-Bullet, ex-Wizard. Yeah. Who did nothing.
High news minutes away. Pablo and I will discuss Odell Beckham's arrest warrant. Fallout from the sign-stealing scandal hits the Mets. Do the Seahawks need to get rid of Pete Carroll? And can Jason Garrett help the New York football Giants? Stay tuned.
Our NBA Saturday games, ABC and the ESPN app begin this week. Clippers and Pelicans at 3:30 Eastern, then on prime time. It's 8:30 Eastern. LeBron and the Lakers taking on the Rockets. Guess who's going to be there? The Jump will be courtside in Houston. Preview the big game. Join me, Michael Wilbon, Scottie Pippen, Paul Pierce, and Travis Scott live.
Oh,
8 o'clock Eastern time. Ooh. It is crunch time here on The Jump. Tobias Harris scoring 34 points, including two big baskets down the stretch to power the Sixers win over the Nets. All right, so we've been asking who's going to close games.
He balled out last night, but can he do it consistently? Can he do it in the playoffs? That remains to be seen, but
by remains to be seen, you mean the answer is no.
Wow. You just run them off.
Oh, I love Tobias Harris, but this is where Tobias Harris belongs. He's a very, very good player that belongs as your third or fourth best player on a championship team, in my opinion.
But he is their third best player.
Exactly, but a third or fourth best player has trouble. Third or fourth best player has trouble being very, very consistent.
Kristaps Porzingis was set to make his return to the Mavericks lineup last night, but he was a late scratch because of continued soreness in his right knee. He is now questionable for Friday against the Blazers.
Here come the Knicks fans.
Tracy, who has had knee problems yourself?
Come on, man. We got to get
you know
this
about
guy.
Knee problems.
We man.
Shut up.
Giving you 40.
On one leg. On one leg.
Nah, I just want to see if these guys can reach what their potential is when he's healthy alongside with
Luka. No, and they need to get into it.
Yeah.
Porzingis recovering, his teammate Luka Doncic continuing to shine. Remember the 2008 draft, anyone? Luka originally drafted by the Atlanta Hawks back in 2018, traded to the Mavs for Trae Young and a first-round pick. Again, I always like to stress, the first-round pick went to Atlanta. Yes. DeAndre Ayton was taken first by the Suns. Marvin Bagley next by the Kings. So, look, this was last night in Sacramento. A fan basically looking at what might have been. And I saw this picture.
It should have been.
On the Twitter and texted our producers. And it just brought up, if you're Sacramento, are you bemoaning the most that you didn't draft Luka? If you are Phoenix, are you bemoaning it? If you're Atlanta and you made the Trae Young trade, are you bemoaning it? Which team do you think has the most regrets?
All three.
All of them do.
All three.
Really?
Without a
but
shadow
I'm gonna make,
of a doubt.
Can I make an excuse for the Kings? Okay. And we can go back. Go ahead. Part of the reason why they didn't draft MJ is because they had Clyde Drexler. Right?
That's a dumb reason.
No, it's a dumb reason. Yeah. But now, in hindsight, part of the reason they had De'Aaron Fox. And look, last year at the end of the season, people like, look, De'Aaron hasn't had a great year this year, but last year at the end of the season, people were still very, very high on De'Aaron Fox, and he still has a lot of potential. Yeah. So they were like, De'Aaron needs the ball in his hand, and so does he. Right? So they were like, oh, we should go get a big to compliment De'Aaron Fox. That's my only thing.
Mm. What about you, man?
I think Sacramento is suffering from this. Atlanta, not so much.
But I am more than Sacramento. For me, is Phoenix because look, if you had paired Luka Doncic and Devin Booker together,
they would have been killing.
Can you imagine?
Even that combo would have overcame all the dysfunction that the Suns have.
But it would have changed a lot
of
it.
But that's the other thing, though. Part of the issue is that we're like, okay, look. When we look at Ayton, only thing I'm saying is that he is going to be a very good player. We just have to give him time. He's 21 years old.
They're going to keep talking. We're out of time. Amin is filling in for me tomorrow. I will see you in Houston on Saturday.
They're giving you the keys?
Yeah, I'm driving.